I really believe that today is going to be the last one. We're going to be done with Nehemiah today. This morning I want to talk to you out of Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It's 38 verses, so I'm not going to talk real long. So we're going to use some time to read some scripture because it's a really great summary of everything that God did from the patriarchs to where we are right now in Nehemiah. The title of the sermon today is Here We Are. And when we read this passage, I think you'll kind of understand where we're going. So, Nehemiah 9. On the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. That was a standard position when you were repenting, by the way, in case you're wondering. We don't put dust on our heads much anymore, but that was normal for them. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place, and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. So we're going to read for just a few minutes, not 1/4 of the day. And then for another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And again, we're not going to do that for 1/4 of the day, but we are going to do that. So it says, then Jeshua and Bani and all these other names, I'm not going to read them all. I could impress you with my ability to pronounce them, but I'm not going to. They stood on the stairs of the Levites, and they cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And the Levites, all these guys, Jeshua and Kadmiel and Benai and Hasbaniah and Sherebiah and Minimo and Jack and all the rest of them, they said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and all the other ites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and you heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted proudly against him. So you made a name for yourself, as it is this day, and you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors you threw into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai, and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. You brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. You told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give to them. But they and our fathers acted proudly and hardened their necks, and they did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt, and they worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way that they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven. You brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued it before them. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. They took strong cities and a rich land, possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards and olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat, delighted themselves in your goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who oppressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. And according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven. And many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and they would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them. Excuse me, I just lost my place. Yeah, there you go, 30. For many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty and awesome God who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them, for they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants today, in the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty. Here we are, servants in it. It yields much increase to the kings that you set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we're in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what your word says to us, that it reveals who you are. And even though we fail, and even though we do things that are not right, Lord, you, in your great mercy, never give up on us. You always extend mercy and grace and love to us. I thank you for that. Lord, help us to evaluate ourselves and to allow you to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I read all that to you because I wanted you to hear. They talked a lot about their problems along the way. They talked a lot about the bad things that befell them, and yet every time they would say, but God, you didn't give up on us. You didn't just throw us away or kick us down the road. You didn't give up on us. You didn't just kill us and wipe us out, but your great mercy was always there. So here we are. You know, you could make a great parallel not only with our personal lives and walk with the Lord, but our nation. God gave us this great nation like no other place on the earth except his own people. And here we are. Look at where we are right now as a nation. And as individuals, you know, God gave us all this salvation and redemption and bounty. He makes all these good things abound to us. And yet, here we are. You know, look at your life. I mean, how are we living? Are we really living according to God's promises? So I want to make three quick points. We're in it, we're servants, and here we are. So in it. What are we in? We're in the promised land. We are in the promised land. If you're a believer, you're in the promised land. Well, years ago when I was a young man, we went downtown before downtown was cool, you know, but it was back when there really was just a bunch of winos and bad stuff down there. And so we were down there witnessing the people, and this one drunk, you know, he was trying to talk reasonably with us, and this other drunk was totally drunk, and he'd stagger up, "Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He'd keep trying to quote that, and this other guy would get frustrated, and he'd stagger off, and then he'd come back, "I remember the rest of it now, and it makes me lie down in green pastures." And the one drunk to the other said, "Hey, buddy, how many green pastures have you lied down in lately?" You know, and I've never forgotten that, because, you know, we quote that verse, but in reality, I mean, do we really feel like we're lying down in green pastures? Do we really feel like we're drinking from the still waters and enjoying all of God's goodness? If we are, then why are we grumbling and complaining so much? You know, because that's kind of the way we are. We talk about all of our problems and all the things that aren't right, and we don't talk so much about all the good things. So we're in the promised land. Jesus in John 3 is talking to Nicodemus, and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And in verse 6, he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So if you've been born again, you are in the promised land. Whether or not you're enjoying all the benefits and whether you're lying down in the green pastures, you know, that's a whole different story. But you're in it. And that's good, because speaking of eternal situations, that, you know, being in it is what it's all about. But I'm not content to just know that I'm going to go to heaven someday. I want to be in it and living it now. I want to be in the promised land right now. I mean, I want to be living the promised land experience right now. I don't want to wait until I'm with Jesus in heaven to start saying, "Man, this is good." Because it's good right now. We just got to have the right perspective, and we got to have the right attitude about it, and we got to understand what he's promised us. So if you're in the promised land, where's the milk and honey? Where is that milk and honey? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm wondering. I believe me, I see it. I see it sometimes, but I see a lot of the other stuff too. And when I see the other stuff, it's a challenge to keep my eyes focused on the Lord and all of his good promises and what he's doing good, instead of focusing on all the not so good. So the milk and honey is there. God has provided for us, but sometimes we just don't see it. You know, sometimes the absence of a problem is a greater blessing than being delivered out of something that we see. What if you think about it this way? You know, every day that you go on your normal everyday life and nothing weird or bad happens to you, what if you just say, "Yeehaw, man, another day God delivered me and God saved me. I didn't have to go to the hospital today. I wasn't sick today. I didn't die today. You know, I didn't go broke today. My friends and family didn't kick me," and, you know, I mean, whatever. every day that it's a good day, you could rejoice over God's provision and care. Even though nothing bad happened to you that you got delivered out of, it didn't happen to you, so you got delivered out of it, right? I mean, there's always something we can get excited about. We're always able to focus on God's goodness and provision and care. Maybe it's not 100% of what we want. Get over it. You know, God is good. He's worthy of our praise and our adoration because he's good all the time, even though we don't always see it. Sometimes we get focused on the lack. How about we focus on God's awesomeness? Think about who he is. I promise if you do that, it'll change the way you think about it all. May not change your circumstances at all, but it'll change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you can get excited, and then you won't be in the mully grubs. You won't be all down and feel like you've been kicked. You'll be feeling like you're ready to dance. You know, you can do that even when things aren't going right. Matter of fact, that's the best thing you can do sometimes. When everything's going wrong, sometimes you just got to say, you know, I'm just going to praise the Lord. I'm going to shout. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give God glory, even though my life looks like a bombshell went off in it. And if you'll do that, you'll feel better. Yeehaw! I mean, you start doing a little rejoicing, and eventually, if you do it long enough, you'll start feeling it. It won't just be you making noises. You'll begin to feel it from your heart. It's something that you can't work it up. On the other hand, if you don't make an effort to do it, you're never going to enter into it. James 4, he says, you don't have things because you do not ask, or you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you can consume it on your own pleasure. So where's the milk and honey? Well, it's there, but you have to ask and you have to pursue it. And you have to be doing it with the right motives, you know. I don't think God minds you having a big house or fancy car and all that stuff. But he wants your heart. And when your heart is for him, then he can give you all kinds of things. But if your whole attitude about God is gimme, 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 you know, I want more, you know. I want more of him, not more stuff. And as long as I'm content to pursue him, then he'll be content to bless me and take care of me and prosper me. And prosperity is a message that we ought to get excited about as long as we keep it in balance. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. God does want to prosper us. But it's not all about stuff and fancy and more and more. And you know, God just wants us to be whole. So here we are, we're in it, and yet we're servants. Who are we? John 8, Jesus answered, said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you should be free indeed. So we're in the land, we're in the promised land, and yet sometimes we act like slaves. We act like we're still bound. And some of us are still bound in various areas. You know, you can be born again and still have problems. Not everyone, when you come to Jesus, you get set free of all that stuff. I mean, if you're an alcoholic and you come to Jesus, you may get set free and you may not get set free right then. You may have to walk through that and figure out how to get free. If you had other issues, if you had anger issues, if you had other habits that you consider to be, you know, some kind of bondage that you'd like to be free of, they don't all just automatically go away. Some of them, they keep hanging on. Sometimes we're in it. We're in the promised land, but we're not seeing the milk and honey in every area of our lives. We're seeing some areas that we're not free. We have something to say about that. You know, we have a part in that. Those that the Son makes free are free indeed, but you, we have to know the truth, and we have to begin to say, Lord, I want to be free. I don't want to be in bondage anymore. I want to be free. Amen. If you just walk around content to be in bondage, you're going to be in bondage. Big things, little things, it doesn't matter. But when you begin to cry out and say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. Then you begin to plow the Word of God, and it begins to renew your mind. You begin to think differently. You begin to respond differently. And you can get free in the Lord in every area of your life that you're struggling with. But you have to allow the Word of God to take its full effect on you. So where is our freedom? Romans 7:6 says, "But now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." And he goes on, Paul says in verse 21, "I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, and it's warring against the law of my mind, and it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. And what he's saying there is that we got it going on still. You know, I mean, our old nature is alive. It's in us. We got old habits, old patterns, old thought processes. God wants to renew all that stuff. And so while we're born again, which makes us eternally ready to go be with the Lord, that doesn't mean that we got it all going on completely right inside of us, because our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions it still wants to behave like the old man. It has to be redeemed, and that's a process. We use the big word sanctification, but that means that God is changing us and cleansing us and making us, setting us apart, making us more like Him in every area of our life. And as that happens, we become more and more free. We begin to walk in that freedom, and we don't follow the lust of the flesh anymore. We're walking in the Spirit more than we're walking in the flesh. And it's going to be an ongoing challenge. By the way, you see what happened to them in the book of Nehemiah. We've been talking about restoring them to their land. I mean, they were in the land, and because they didn't keep control of it, they allowed the enemy to mess them up. They lost it. And so we're in the land, and we have to keep the stuff that God has done in our life. We've got to keep the process moving. Stay in tune with the Lord. Continue to allow Him to change us and keep us alive. If you start letting death and destruction creep back in, guess what? You're going to be living in death and destruction. Even though your name's written in the book of life, right here and now, your life is going to be the opposite of milk and honey. You ain't going to be seeing those green pastures much if you're allowing the enemy to have his way. You have to maintain that by walking in the Spirit and staying in tune with the truth, the Word of God. So here we are. Self-examination and evaluation is a good thing. In the Psalms, David said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." 2 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Now, he's not saying they were, but he's saying, you know, you got to look at this. You look at it, you're either in the Lord or you're not. And if you're in the Lord, then you ought to be living like you're in the Lord, not like something else. We ought to be walking in freedom. If Christ has made us free, we ought to be walking in freedom. We ought to walk in the light as He is in the light. And worship team, you guys can come on back. I told you I wasn't going to keep you here way late today. But we're not through yet. Psalms 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we need to be praying that on a regular basis. You know, God, search me. Shine your light into me. Show me every area in me that's dark, every area in me that's not right, every area in me that needs to be changed, everything that needs to be cleaned up and removed and straightened out. You know, we basically are a mess in a lot of areas in our lives. God can fix all that mess, but we have to let Him come in and have His way. We have to set a course for success. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then verse 24, "Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit." John 8, Jesus spoke to him and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And 3 John, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So we're in the land, and in some areas we're not really walking in total freedom. We're still acting like servants in some areas in our lives. God wants to deliver us. He wants us to be free, completely free. We may not understand all that God has promised. We may not understand all that God wants to do, but He's made these great promises to us. And He says all the promises are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. Under the glory of God through us. See, it's all for God's glory, but it happens through us. We have a part in this. If we don't do our part, it's not going to happen like it ought to. So the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen for us, but we have to apply those promises. If you just sit around, we used to sing this goofy little song, you know, if all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a world that'd be. I'd walk around with my mouth open wide. You know, if that's the way you expect God to pour it out on you, you're kind of missing out. We have to be asking. We have to be expecting. We have to have a great expectation that God is going to do the things that He said He would do. If you don't expect Him to do anything, you're probably not going to see very much, and you're probably not going to receive very much. But when you have an expectation that God is going to pour out blessings on you, do things in your life, then you begin to see them. When they happen, you recognize them. And then you rejoice over them, and then you begin to expect more. So Lord, here we are. We're examining ourselves today. This is the end of a year. We're coming up to the time where we start thinking about next year. And Lord, here we are. We're in you. And we're not completely free. And we're not completely enjoying the promises. We're not completely walking in the fullness of the Spirit. We're not seeing all of your promises as yes and amen. We're seeing a bunch of them as, oh me, what am I going to do? And we're bogged down, and we've got areas in our lives that we need to be set free. So Lord, here we are. We're your people, and we want to be free to be servants to you and to be servants to each other, not to be servants to the enemy. We want to be free to walk in the fullness of the Spirit and experience all of your goodness and glory and blessing in our lives. Lord, we want to be free in the land to serve you. In Jesus' name, let's stand and worship. We've got just an opportunity here to receive from the Lord. Jerry, I want you to share what you shared because it fits right in with what I preached about this morning.
Well, I was just telling Terry that the Lord shared with me that we're filled with His glory, and for us to go out and teach others what we learn in here.
Amen. Amen. That's real short, but that's right. That's right to it. That's what it's all about. That's what living in the promised land is all about. He's done all this great stuff in our lives, and we've got an obligation and an opportunity to go out and share that with other people. And that's, man, we got to get excited about that. We got to get excited about what God's done in our lives. You ought to be happy. You ought to be smiling. You ought to be enthusiastic. You ought to be wanting to tell someone. Instead of kicking the cat or something, let's rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Let's do something good. So if you'd like special prayer for anything, as we do this last song, you can come down, someone will pray with you. Just continue to worship. Let God speak to you. God wants to tell us things. He wants to talk to us. You know, we don't come here just to have a good time. We come here because we want to hear from the Lord. And God wants to speak to each one of us. And so maybe He's telling you something like He did Jerry. Maybe He's telling you something about, you know, it's time for you to step out and begin to do things differently. It's time for you to begin to be a stronger witness for me. So let's worship.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Time to see. worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Hallelujah. So here we are. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to stay like you are? I hope not. Here we are. What are we going to do? How about we say, God, change me? Starting today, it's a new day. This is the day that I can say, I give myself fully to you. I want to walk in all of your promises. I want to walk in all of your blessings. I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to follow you. I want to hear you. I want to walk so closely to you that I can hear that whisper, that still small voice, and I'm not distracted. Today is the day that all that can change. You don't have to be hard-headed, dull of hearing, blind, but you can walk in the light and see clearly. You can hear God's voice clearly. And you can figure out what you're supposed to do because you're walking in the Spirit. It's just, we just got to learn to do it, folks. Here we are. What are we going to do? The Lord, help us. Help us to say yes to you. Yes to you and everything that you want to do, Lord, from this day forward. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his perfect peace. Go and have a great day. And don't forget the candlelight service, 6 o'clock Tuesday. And if you don't come, I hope you have a wonderful, blessed, Merry Christmas. And we'll see you when we see you. Amen? All right. God bless you.